We're going to try to get this meeting underway as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, we were supposed to start at 4:30, but it did not get posted that way. It got posted at 5 o'clock, so we are going to be a little bit short on time. We have several presentations to be made. I'm Vice Mayor Scott Summers. It's an honor and privilege to temporarily replace Mayor Smith, who is out of town doing some work with the Brookings Institute, I believe, so we will excuse the mayor from the study session and the meeting. Also, Councilmember Glover and Councilmember Higgins are absent. They are attending a downtown conference out of town to learn how to what they can do for downtown. First item on the agenda is to review items on the agenda for April 4th, which would be today. So, items 1 through 3C. Yes, sir.
Yes, Mayor and Council.
You're not on the council. How can you possibly? Go ahead.
Item 3A for Carniceria La Constancia withdrew this afternoon, so we'd like to remove that from the agenda, please.
Okay. Then we will remove that from the agenda.
Thank you.
So there's no recommendation for denial. It's just been withdrawn.
That is correct.
But they've withdrawn their.
They've officially withdrawn.
Okay.
Very good. 4A through 4E, 4F through 5A, 5B through item 8. No? And that will conclude that agenda. That was quick. Item number 2, we have two presentations. So we'll have to be a little bit more brief than I think that you had originally anticipated. Item 2A, we will hear a presentation, discussion, provide direction on the city court budget and issues. With that,
Vice Mayor, members of council, I think you all know me, Paul Thomas, Court Administrator. I'm here with Lenny Montanaro to do the budget presentation for this evening. We'll try to be brief. I know time's a crunch. We'll go to the first slide, Lenny, if you can bring that up. So just a snapshot of our budget. You can see from looking at it real quick, there's no significant changes. Last year we had $307 in capital that was related to the new building. That, of course, goes away. And we did separate out grant funds. I would point out that those grant funds are, that's an accumulating single grant. It's not new money every year. It's one grant that keeps on going. It accumulates at about $165,000 per year. We draw upon that money to support our automation efforts on a regular basis. So it's kind of always there. Next slide, I think Lenny's gonna tackle for you tonight. Has to do with our court statistics. Lenny?
Vice Mayor, council members, thank you for having us here today. The first column here is our numbers for fiscal year 9-10. The second column over here is for what we're forecasted for the rest of fiscal year 10-11. You'll see our filings are up by about 6% or 8,000. And then we have visitors to the court. We're going to have about 265,000 people visit our court by the end of this fiscal year. Noticed our counter assistance, we're actually tracking a little differently how we're counting the people we serve. We have a Q-matic system, and the Q-matic system has been expanded to our collection division. So it doesn't matter where the individual checks in, the collections or customer service, we get them through the processes with one ticket, that Q-matic system. So we're counting people instead of transactions. That's why that number looks like it's down. If you look at our web and IVR hits, last year we were here and we said we changed the structure of our bond card to direct people more to web and IVR transactions, and that's really paying off. You'll see that the filings are up 6%, but the people visiting the court are there only up 1%. Our courtroom activities, that includes everything from pretrials to trials, were up 2%. Incoming calls and our outgoing call volume, I'd like you to look at those numbers and keep them in mind for our next slide. Now, our previous slide showed numbers, and this slide shows some of the technologies we employ to address those demands. The first thing up here is e-citation project that we're working in conjunction with the Mesa Police Department. And as the sites are filed electronically, that'll reduce our online or manual input. And so what we plan on doing is focusing those resources on incoming calls. Our incoming calls average about 260-some thousand. And we last year we dropped about 10%, almost 30,000 calls. So we're looking to move those resources from the citation entry on over to the phones. The next thing we have going here is our paper on demand. Last year we presented that our civil traffic was all paper on demand, and we plan on moving our criminal divisions that way. We have 96,000 criminal files. It should make for a more efficient flow of people and work through the building. Our last piece here, last year we talked, we were going to employ an auto dialer. We lost staff in the collection making those outgoing calls. A couple years ago, we were making about 90,000 outgoing calls to deal with delinquent debtors to the court. And we've implemented phase one. We hope to have it fully employed by the end of this calendar year and either meet or exceed the call volume that we had 2 years ago.
Thanks, Lenny.
Has that had any impact on your collection rate?
It's only when in.
Tell?
Yes,
March
7th.
March 7th is what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
The last two slides I'll take. We'll take a minute to talk about this new court case management system. This has been a long, ongoing project that we've been involved in, probably going back almost 3 years now, and it involves developing an entirely new case management system to operate the court. The city has required us to move off of the mainframe probably within the next 24 months, so the effort for this project has been more or less directed to coincide with the city's motivation to shut down the mainframe, which is actually a good thing. We have been involved with several courts throughout the state. Because of our high state of automation, we've always been in a leading role, but recent circumstances and events have now played out that we are now the lead court for this statewide project. Primarily involving the large volume courts, Tucson, Scottsdale, Pima County Justice Courts, they're involved with us. This project will operate under the direction, oversight of the Arizona Supreme Court.
Councilmember Kavanaugh has
certainly
insight.
Certainly.
Just comment on that for my council colleagues. On behalf of the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, I serve on the Arizona Supreme Court's Commission on Technology, which is going to be helping to oversee this effort on behalf of the Supreme Court. And it really, I can't underestimate what Paul is telling you, that Mesa has been asked to be the project leader on this court system. It really reflects the fact that their colleagues within the judicial system regard us as the gold standard for municipal courts, and the work that our staff has done on this has been absolutely extraordinary. And to be picked to be the project leader is really reflecting a job that's very well done, that's respect to which our court staff and system is held in the state. And so I'll continue to provide you feedback on that from the my position on the Supreme Court Commission. Thank you.
This will involve the redesign, development, testing, and implementation of a system. The advantages to us are tremendous, in as much as we will be the primary court in designing how this system is going to work, how it will automate processes, and what the business associated business functions will be. The other side of this is that the primary funding will come from the Arizona Supreme Court. So we will be in front of the commission in early May, and I expect that number to be somewhere between maybe $2 to $4 million to fund this project ongoing. And so by virtue of us being in the lead position, this is certainly an expense down the line that we would have been facing had we not had this effort with the Supreme Court to lead this project. It will have a significant impact on our staff resources. We will need to pull in our court administrators, our supervisors, our leads, to be involved in the business side of this as to what processes get developed, what functional requirements are going to be dictated in terms of the system. We'll need our staff experts to be involved in that, and it will involve tremendous hours and time to do that. But the payoff, I think, is tremendous in terms of cost savings to the city and the fact that we'll be the lead court in developing this entire effort. The final slide has to do with our response to the 5% budget request. Because of the expected demands that are going to be on our staff in terms of increased caseload, which Lenny pointed out, and pulling people into this major project, we tended not to look at the staff ranks for the 5%. We did go to the revenue side. There was, a very good solution to the 5%, which was an adjustment to the local portion of the defensive driving cost. This is the fee that people pay to attend defensive driving school, and there is a local portion of that. This is a good response to this request because you must pay up front to attend driving school. So it's something people wish to do. There are advantages to going to driving school as opposed to contesting the case or dragging it out or even attempting to pay the fine, which is more, over a period of time. So it's a direct revenue source. It's collected up front. And it's something that defendants are willing to do because the violation eventually is dismissed. There's no points on the license. There's no impact on their car insurance. You can see from the little chart on the right that we're well within the averages of cities that are nearby. And we try to keep it that way as an incentive for people to look to defensive driving school as opposed to dragging their case through court, which is certainly a staff demand cost to us, and this is a good way. The number is real reliable, so we will expect to exceed the 5%. Yes, certainly.
Were you done?
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. Does that go on any ticket issued, whether it be from a police officer or like photo radar?
It would be on any civil traffic citation.
Okay.
Yes. And that certainly is the highest number of kinds of citations we have through the court. I think the number is like 70 or 75% of the caseload relates to civil traffic, so that is our big number through the court. Anyway, we were glad to present this evening. I think we have some very positive things that are occurring in the court. We did, I think, effectively respond to the 5% that was requested of us. We have some very high expectations for the year to come in terms of achievements and things we intend to do. And we're certainly open to questions at this point if council has any.
Dave?
Why'd you just stop at $15? Why didn't you go higher than that? I'm not advocating for that. I'm just wondering.
It's a double-edged sword because to go higher, we don't want to create a disincentive to go to traffic school. We want to encourage people to go to traffic school because if they weigh in balance and they try to contest the case, that's a cost to the system. We got judges, court staff, and everything. And it's far better for the defendant, I think, and us in terms of the efficiency of the whole process to have them go to defensive driving school.
I would presume that logic got you to the $90 in the first place. So how much revenue do you forego by taking it to this current level?
Well,
and have you accounted for that in your model?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. We could have certainly made this anything we wanted to. But
when you set the rate at $90.
That's correct.
You figure there is a certain market demand or people that would choose defensive driving
that's
at that
correct.
Point.
So
when you take it to $105, there's going to be people that decide to go through court. I'm just wondering if you adjusted your revenue model based on some people choosing to go through court instead of driving school for this.
Yes, Councilmember Richens, when I did the math, 21% of the civil traffic actually go to the defensive driving school, and for this forecast, I only forecasted that 19% would go. So,
and what was the logic that led you to a 2% decline? I mean, is that just a guesstimate, kind of?
Yes, a guesstimate. But when we do something, there's an initial impact, and then it does return to normal within a year or so once people get used to it. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
You still, I haven't had a citation, I can't remember when, so it's still 3 points on the license, isn't it, for speeding or red light running? And if you go to civil traffic school, then you don't have the point.
That's correct.
So you have to pay $15 more. Granted, everything's going up, but at least there's a motivation there that you don't have that 3 points showing up on your license, which sure as heck the insurance companies are going to find out and end up raising your rates $15 a month. Right? So
that's correct.
One would think that even though there might be an initial dip, that this could level out over time. Did you have something, sir?
I do. So the logic is you guys are going to be under your court staff. It's going to be under a lot of stress and or a lot of increased workload to do this new system coming through the state. So our good city manager has asked you to say, hey, go through this exercise of the reduction. And you're saying, hey, instead of reducing because we have all these challenges, we'd like to up the that fee. A question. Isn't there other state fees that are on that? Having just paid this for a teenager, which I want to strangle, I think we paid upwards of like $190 to have him go through this program. Could you kind of lay out
certainly
how that all is?
Yes, Councilmember Finner, the way it breaks down is there's a diversion fee to the respective court. There is a $20 surcharge, which is actually two surcharges that go to the state. And then there's another $45 state surcharge for a balanced budget surcharge that they imposed, I think, 3 years ago. And then there's the cost of the school, and the cost of the school ranges from $20 up. So you're into the $180 to $210 range, depending on which school you choose and if you go online.
So if I could, Vice Mayor, so following up then, you're saying, hey, we can't get everything done that we need to get completed with this new system and everything we're doing. So instead of doing the reduction, you'd like us to enhance this fee and keep you kind of at status quo at least for.
That's essentially our solution to the situation. And it was our understanding when this first went out that we could be creative and think of different approaches to responding to the 5%. So in terms of the overall, what's good for the court, we lost 10 and a half staff in the last 3 years, so there's a staffing problem, obviously. Mm-hmm. We're looking at increased demands in terms of the caseload increasing and the demands of this new project coming online, which potentially down the line would be a huge savings and benefit for the city. So all of that taken into context, we kind of lean to the revenue side to respond to the budget request.
That's it. Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Anybody else?
Mr. Brady, do you have anything else to add on this one? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next budget proposals from the Mesa Police Department. I should have led this in, by the way, to say that over the course of the next few weeks at least, the council will be hearing presentations during study sessions on the budget and how specific departments are hoping to address the fiscal realities that the city is in and has been for some time. The good news is that the depth of the cuts that we have to make over the course of this year aren't nearly as deep as they have been over the last two, but given that we've cut some $110 million out of the general fund over the last 2 to 3 years, the $7 to $8 million that we're looking to add to that this year, certainly we don't have the slack that we used to. So we'll be interested in this particular case to hear what the police department has decided to look at as a cut or revenue enhancements. So, Chief, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having us, Vice Mayor, Council. What I'm going to go over is our topics of discussion will be our budget overview, our budget reductions, and then some innovative efficiencies that we've implemented in the police department. The first thing is a snapshot of our overall budget. 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011 and 2012. General fund, as you can see, for proposed 11-12, it looks like there's an increase there, but that's kind of a optical illusion.
And that it looked too optical. It looks like an increase. So how do you come up with that?
It is an overall increase. what that increase is from the increase in employee benefits, police pension. Even though our operating budget has reduced, that still shows an increase there.
So, Mayor, Vice Mayor, and Council, what it means is, especially in the public safety side, you'll see this, because of the increasing cost, and of course, this is across the board for employee benefits. Now, the employees, not only are the employees paying more, but the city's paying more per employee. And more specifically, on the pension side, public safety, the city's paying more. As the health benefits, then on the pension side, the city's paying more per employee than it has in the past. So even though their numbers, they're not adding any more staff, but the cost per employee continues to rise.
Well, that's a difficulty in local government. Is local government's about service, putting police and fire on the streets, fixing the roads. Those are all services, and those take people to get that done. So, of course, when you make cuts, they're going to have to come out of our personnel or our services, as opposed to state federal government, which they have very large entitlement programs that they can make adjustments to. We don't have that. So that's not a surprise.
As you can see, over the last 2 years, our grant funding is staying about the same. We're proposing about $10 million in grant funds for 11-12. The other fund, the section on other funds, that is diverted general funds for target hardening sites, Falcon Field, Gateway. That's what those represents, those funding there. So we're proposed a total of $142,111,000. Looking at our personnel, our full-time equivalent, reducing down to 1,194.5. As you can see, over the last 3 years, that's a reduction of 171 full-time employees.
Positions,
correct. The next slide, I just want to give a brief overall on an update on the COPS grant. Originally, the COPS grant was designed to hire 25 new officers from the federal government. The total grant awarding was a little over $5.8 million. Due to budget reductions in 10-11, the department got with the COPS grant, Department of Justice Recovery Program, and asked if we could modify the grant to fund existing 25 officers instead of laying off 25 officers. So those funds were diverted. Instead of hiring new ones, we funded 25 existing officers. The grant time period is on the federal fiscal year, which is different than ours. That way, there's a little overlap, and where our two fiscal years straddle each other, so it does create a little issue with the way the fundings are brought in, and I'll show you that on the next slide. The next slide gives you a picture of the federal portion that's coming in. As you can see, next year, about $1.7 million. The estimated city portion for our commitment is $381,000. And as we progress through the years, you can see that our commitment is going to increase, especially in 13-14. And then in 14-15, we'll be responsible for the funding for those 25 officers. That is currently included in the forecast, so we are anticipating covering those costs for the grant. Okay. Getting into our proposed reductions for this year, the photo safety equipment lease will be paid off early in this year. That will give us a result savings of $631,000. We're getting to the point now where we're paying off for our vans and paying off for the equipment, and that is an expenditure that we will no longer have to be paying in next year.
Mr. Fitcher? Chief Meza?
Yes.
With regard to that photo radar program, I know that contract was coming up at some point in the near future, and I know they were looking at different portions of the vans or other things, you know, as what the new program would look like. Is there any information you can give us on that?
The contract is set to expire in February 27th of 2012. We have been starting discussions on, we'll be presenting back to council, because we're going to have to talk about, do we want to stay in the business of photo radar? We currently are starting to see a revenue stream. We're averaging a monthly average gain of over $75,000 a month. So where in the past we were always in the red on the program?
We've been in the red. Is that $75,000 a month? Is that your gross receipts?
Well, I think it depends on who you want to compare it to. I mean, when you take in full cost recovery, there are some years we were down, some years we were breaking even, we're getting better. But the problem is you go to other communities and they all say, oh, yeah, we're making profit on it. Well, they didn't practice full cost recovery like we did. So if you don't do full cost recovery, you don't include the leases and you don't include the personnel that are associated with it, you know, we've always made a little money cash flow. What we're saying here is the city chose at the beginning, I guess 6 years ago when it started this program, it chose to lease purchase the equipment around at every intersection as opposed to just installing it and purchasing it up front. And so that lease amount, those leases expire. We now own the equipment, and now we can make a decision as we go forward, which obviously takes away that direct expense that would be, and probably in our calculations, we were netting out the gross. And I think the number that the chief has just quoted us, does that include the lease payments and the personnel costs? So that's a net number then.
Because of the changes in the payments, well, I think not necessarily one, more
well,
people
I'll,
running red
I'll
lines.
Give credit to the police department. Part of it is one of the things we learned early on is that we had photo radar in, I can't remember how many different intersections, but as we evaluated each intersection, we recognized that there were some intersections that just didn't justify it, the expense and the number of accidents in those locations really didn't justify the effort needed. And so we worked with, remember we did an amendment 2 years ago?
Two years ago, so
that we could move the photo radar around and put them in the locations where we really were having a greater number of accidents and impacts. And as we did that, that also helped improve the numbers for this program, too. So it's a combination of costs were coming off as well as credit to the police department. Those are the photo radar really managed it better and put it in the right locations where safety was a big concern.
Then we had some intersections that we re-engineered to make them safer as well that used to have photo radar, like, I think of Guadalupe and...
Oh, during the, I think...
Gilbert and University. Right. And
then the transportation department takes a lot of those also, you're right, and engineers, whether it's widening or some
the
other
whole point
physical
of this
barrier.
This isn't about making money, it's about safety and making our intersections
right.
safer.
And that's a prime example is we have these, a few of these now, we have had these in school zone areas too, and that's been an effective way to monitor and enforce speed in the school zones also.
So, Vice Mayor and Councilmember Fincher, we will be coming back to council to discuss the whole contract and discussion of photo radar in the future. The next proposed reductions will be to reduce 23 vacant civilian positions that the police department currently has. Reductions will impact the following areas: information technology, where we have three positions. One is the position of the badging, the position that does all the badging for the city. We are going to currently move some existing personnel around to cover those responsibilities. Our secure, one of the positions is secure that helps with the building access and our CCTV. We currently have one employee that does that, and they just won't have their partner to help them out. So we will feel some impact there. An information technician engineer, which does our technical support in the police department, we're going to absorb that in our normal IT function. In the forensics, two of those positions, one is a CST, which is a crime scene technician, and then the other one is a forensic scientist, toxicology, that does our urine and blood testing for DUIs. We will see that's not the only position that does that, but without that position, we may see an impact in our backlogs for blood and urine testing may be backlogged somewhat, but we feel that we can make that up with existing resources. Patrol operations, a one CSD position, which is a crime scene technician, and one of our administrative assistants out of our central station. In our fiscal area, We're going to be reducing one of those positions as the fiscal director, and then one is an administrative Chief aid Minister? Assistant. Yes, sir.
Councilmember Cavanaugh has a question.
I have a follow-up question on the crime scene technician issue. I recall we've had initiated a program or a pilot program with kind of the new civilian crime scene technicians. How, and that was based out at the Superstition. And has that resulted in any savings or efficiencies in terms of that work for the department that's allowed you to maintain other officers in patrol functions?
Yes, sir. Vice Mayor and Councilmember Cavanaugh, that actually is not part of the crime scene investigator position is what you're talking about. This is a crime scene technician, which is different. These positions are the personnel that go out to crime scenes and take pictures and measurements and process evidence. That is different than the investigators, which we are not reducing any of the program that you're talking about. And yes, that has saved us a lot of police officer time, allowing them free time to go out and do more crime fighting activities.
So that the crime scene investigator
is different
program,
than the crime scene tech.
So far, are you regarding that as a success?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
In the hiring unit, one of the positions is a part-time administrative assistant, which completes administrative duties. In our records section, there's four positions, one supervisor and three records specialists that do the administrative duties and clerical work within the records. And then in our communications, we are reducing nine positions. That's four full-time and five part-time positions. And out of those nine positions, the five part-time positions were designed to for dispatchers that maybe did not want to work a full schedule, for them to allow almost job sharing so they could work part-time. That program really has not taken off. So those five part-time positions, we feel that we're not going to have a huge impact by eliminating those positions.
Those
however,
would be benefited positions, wouldn't they, part-time?
Those
depending on how many hours they have. Yeah, it could right. Potentially.
Yeah, I believe those are non-benefited.
Oh, those are? Okay.
Yes.
Keep in mind, you've about 8 minutes, and then we'll have to...
Okay, I'm rolling through. And then one supervisor position and three dispatcher positions. Just a snapshot of it, the $631,000 in reductions from our photo safety equipment lease and the $1.476 on the reduction of the 23 vacant civilian positions, which gives us an overall proposed reduction of $2.1 million.
Just a quick comment, Mayor and Council. One of the things that the Chief and I have talked about is these are the list of the current vacant positions that have been vacant, some for longer periods than others, so I think that's why it was easier to certainly give them up. There, through the use of technology and other improvements, there may be other vacancies that come up in the civilian area, and what we've talked about is the flexibility for the Chief's office. If they determine that there's a vacancy that comes up during the year, but they would, instead of filling that, they'd rather fill it with one of these positions, whether it's communications or the crime scene techs. We're going to allow that flexibility to make those decisions during the year. So at the end of the year, some of these positions may not be the ones that are actually vacated or left permanent. We may swap it out for other vacant positions during the year. And then, of course, we need to monitor this. If this starts having a significant impact on the police department, we would want to come back to council maybe mid-year and make some adjustments. But that's our proposal for now.
Very good.
I'm just going to fly through these last slides because these are the we feel good slides. And I really do want to thank the men and women of our police department. Even though, despite the reductions over the last few years, they continue to do outstanding work. And that really shows in our scorecard, and that's our crime numbers. Since 2008, we have a reduction of overall Part 1 crimes of 24%. And this year, we're sitting at about a 12% reduction again in 2011. So just fantastic
work.
Why don't
you flip down to slide 12 and recognize that? I think that's a good one, given what we'll be doing upstairs.
Yeah, you know, one of our innovative programs, and it is every year, is our volunteer program. It continues to grow. You know, they've donated over 31,000 hours of volunteer time, and that's valued about $600,000. And we have had an increase from 2009 to 2010 on our overall volunteer hours. Very successful program, and we utilize them in every aspect of our department.
I had the opportunity to go to the dinner that was just a few weeks ago for these volunteers, and they're just doing some fantastic work. So And as you can see, they're saving the city a lot of money. There's a lot of skill in there, too, particularly from our retirees who bring quite the background.
Absolutely. Yeah, the level of volunteers, we're getting them all involved in, like I said, all aspects of the department. So it's a win-win. Just some of the other efforts, Operation STEAM, which was our summer program. We feel that if we can target crime and reduce crime, it's less resources that we have to expend in the future. So we were able to reduce crime by 9% during the summer, which normally we see increases in crime in the summer, so that was outstanding. Our SWAT deployment, that actually saved us overtime hours. What we did is we found out when are our SWAT officers needed. We put them out on the street. We were able to cut overtime from call-out time from 926 hours to 211 hours. And that's by putting those officers during those peak times of where they were needed. So,
because otherwise you pay for them even though they're not on duty, but they have to be available for a call. You still have to pay for that premium. So this way, this is a really great move on the police department's role to bring them on duty, so we're paying straight time the whole time.
And also the skills of the SWAT officers, they're just so specially trained, and to have them out on the road on a nightly basis, it's just a benefit to the other officers out in the street and the community.
They roll around in some cool vehicles.
Not the big truck, no. That's
they, get that music
only
in the background going.
That's right. They would like to, but.
Yeah, don't give them an
idea. And just touch on some technological efficiencies. Some of you from the Public Safety Committee heard about Crime Reports, which is a really cool thing. CrimeReports.com, you can jump on it right now. It's basically a way for the community to go and look at crime stats. It's a way for us to give out information to neighborhood watch groups. It even has a module for internal where an officer can go and look at crime stats and crime trends. And we're really just starting to scratch the surface on it. We'll be able to do a lot more with it as we go through.
If somebody had a question about crime, say, at a local park, they could go online and see whether or not they're actually having crime problems.
Absolutely.
At the park.
You could go, and you'll see screenshots like this where you can go and you can get the information.
Vice Mayor covers all parts of the city, west and east.
East and west. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about time something covers East Mesa.
Oh, please.
I got a shot in. That's great.
I won't get too much into the e-citation because I think the courts covered it well. That's going to be allow us to enter citations electronically and get away from having to manually write it, having someone to manually enter it. We're going to initially outfit all our traffic personnel, and then we'll look into the future of outfitting some of our...
And Chief, help me out, because I believe this the case. This may be where we find some savings and maybe down the road some other civilian positions, because you have a tremendous amount of positions, or not a lot, but you have positions that actually... Aren't they part of the data entry for some of these citations?
Yeah, all our citations have to be manually inputted by...
So you can imagine the efficiency now if we can go directly from the officer's entry in the field directly to the courts. There's some positions in there that we'll be able to save, and that's where I'm talking about the opportunity to, as those come free, we can swap them out for some of these others on the list, getting away of positions that we wouldn't otherwise need anyway because of the technology. So that's...
There's an app for that.
Well, it's not an app.
The iPhone, ticket by iPhone now. I'm going to email that to you. I can email that to you right away.
So you can get your picture taken, and then it just sends you your citation to your iPhone.
Why don't I just have a video uplink to the
that
judge?
That's another reason for me not to get
pull him over, do the court hearing on the side of the road.
Chief, I want to commend you and your department. It seems that every meeting I attend, there's always a compliment from city administration on how well the police department is handling very difficult situations through innovation, new uses of technology, programs like the civilian investigators, maximizing the efforts of the volunteers. Our city auditor has nothing but good things to say about the police department and how well that you're managed and how well that the grants are being utilized to maximum efficiency and effectiveness. So, Mike, compliments to the police department on a job well done, and the fact that you're able to handle that and yet see a reduction in the vast majority of part-run crimes is just a testament to how well your organization works. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I have no more money for you, but congratulations.
Thank you.
And to your officers as well.
Absolutely.
Please.
Any other questions, comments, or profanities before?
No.
Really quickly, Mr. Brady, do you want to have anything on upcoming meetings?
Probably most important is what's happening this weekend. And we have a study session on Thursday, but Saturday, the 9th, we have Wingstock 2011 at the Macy Amphitheater, where music meets chicken meat. I want everybody to show up for that from 11 to 5. And then that, also during the day, on the 9th, we have the Neighborhoods Arizona, the annual conference, which I think we're hosting. I don't know if it's the first time, but it's a big event for neighborhood associations to come to Mesa. It'll be at the Southeast Regional Library, and it's a free event, and we want everybody to show up. So it's actually in Gilbert, but I think it's important for all our neighborhoods, I guess the information for neighborhood associations, to be part of that annual conference, which is close by. It's a free event. Great opportunity to get some tools and ideas about what neighborhood associations, neighbors can do to...
How much for the chicken meat?
What is it per wing, Mark?
Tickets can be purchased in advance.
Tickets can be purchased in advance for
$8. For admission for four, and then there's another option for 17 or 20 for 10.
Okay,
$8.
20 for 10. 50
so
cents a
if
piece.
If I bring my son, can he make up the difference in chicken wings? That boy can eat. He's 17.
As long as you keep paying, he can eat.
So I got to keep paying. All right, we're going to show up anyway. Ms. Crocker, any items for citizens present?
No items, Vice Mayor.
Anything else from the council? Second. All in favor?
All right.
We'll see you upstairs.